Greetings and welcome to Central United Methodist Church. You are our honored guests. This is the first Sunday in Epiphany. Let's worship together. Everlasting God, the radiance of faithful souls, you brought the nations to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Fill the world with your glory and show yourself to all the nations through him who is the true light and the bright and morning star, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together, We Three Kings.
Worshiping God on high. is mine, its bitter perfume breathed a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Thus ends this reading of our first lesson. Joys and concerns. Joyously, we're glad that the COVID-19 vaccine is being distributed. We hope that God will speed that task. I'm glad we had a safe and meaningful Christmas, as are you. Concerns, David Harrelson had a blood clot in his brain and is getting better now in the hospital. We pray for all COVID patients, caregivers. We pray for Wally Alexander, Mike's brother. We pray for Luther Rickenbacker's daughter, Stephanie Hatley. Let's take all these concerns and joys and pray together silently. God of peace and God of love, grant us your peace. In this new year, send your peace to the world. Take from this world the threat of violence. Bring in a time when the nations will live in friendship with each other. As subjects of that kingdom of which you are the king, and as members of that family of which you are the loving parent, give us strength and grace and faith to build a better world. Send also your peace to our country. Make us to see nation as above party, and to set your will above all else. Send peace to us internally. Help us to live in peace with our next door neighbors. Rid us of the bitter and unforgiving spirit. Control our temper. Control our tongue. Grant that we may nourish no grudge within our hearts or memory of injury within our minds. Grant that our love given by you will banish hate. Take from us the worries which distract us and give us more trust. Take from us that intense false ambition that drives us. Take from us all estrangement from family, all estrangement from you, and give us the peace of a divine reconciliation. We ask this all through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will read these familiar words from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, In you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned the exact time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star as it had been at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and gave him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sing hallelujah, brothers, sing hallelujah, sisters. We're
worship the Jesus child and praise his mother mild. Glory to God on high, the angel hosts above are saying, listen to the story of the Jesus child. Jesus child, lying at Bethlehem, sleeping safe at Mary's knee, save my soul and bring me to paradise. Let me join the angels singing glory to thee. Sing alleluia, brothers, sing alleluia, sisters, worship the Jesus child and praise his mother mild. Glory to God on high, the angel hosts above are singing. Listen to the story of the Jesus child. Kings from the Orient, following the star that's shining over his head, offering their precious gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense, kneeling with the oxen as before his bed. Sing alleluia, brothers, sing alleluia, sisters, worship the Jesus child and praise his mother mild. Glory to God on high, the angel hosts above are singing, listen to the story of the Jesus child. Let us celebrate the birth of the Jesus child. Sisters, come and welcome him, the newborn king. Praise the Lord who sent him down from heaven at Christmas time. Young and old and rich and poor, his praises sing. Sing alleluia, brothers, sing alleluia, sisters. Worship the Jesus child and praise his mother mild. Glory to God on high, the angel hosts above are singing. Listen to the story of the Jesus child.
Many of you, like me, are old enough to remember the Tonight Show when it was hosted by Johnny Carson. And one of the regular skits was about Karnak the Magnificent. He was a wise man. He wore a cloak and a big turban. He would take the envelope and discern the answers and then open it. And of course, it would have the humorous question that he was answering. And as he came out, Ed McMahon would always introduce him as the visitor from the East. So today in our scripture lesson, we have the visitors from the East. It is a captivating story. It is full of deceit and intrigue, Eastern characters. As exciting and complex as this story is, it is full of meaning for us. Yes, wisdom, like the wise men had. Let's pray together. From the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. Now, in this story, which is sort of short, but very odd for us, there are things that we can glean very easily. One is that Christ has revealed to people that we, the faithful, think most unlikely. It also tells us that not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, really means it. It also shows the importance of the wise person in that society. The wise men returned another way. Who does Matthew say Jesus is? But I'm only going to talk this morning about the first three things that we can glean from this story. Christ is revealed to those whom we, the faithful, consider most unlikely. Now, last week we heard the account of Jesus' birth from Luke, and we read how shepherds had come first to worship and Luke are the shepherds. They weren't just shepherds, they were third shift shepherds. They were not Pharisees or Sadducees or priests or rabbis, but shepherds. And the shepherds in those days were poor, considered by some to be thieves. And worse than that, this was the crowd that worked on the night shift. In other words, these were the folks who were too dumb to herd the sheep. They just were the security guards. So one of the most unlikely people in Israel came to worship God, worship the Christ. Now, in this account from Matthew, it is the wise men. And this point is made even stronger and more drastic because the wise men were Gentiles. They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Moses. They were, to the first century readers who read this, unclean, heathens, unregenerated foreigners. They were kind of people that were held in great disdain. And so what a shock it was that the first people who were worshiping Christ were shepherds in one story and foreigners in the other. Now, the fact that they're wise men would not have been a shock to the ancient Hebrews, but it is kind of a shock to us. In our southern evangelical traditions, people look down on the educated and wise and consider them to be suspect. We constantly hear complaints about physicians' fees, and we hear jokes about lawyers. And this is strange because all the while, the parents who are telling these jokes are encouraging their children to join their ranks. Pastors in our tradition, we're said, sometimes it's said of them that they're just too educated. People will say to their pastor, "You're talking above our heads." To which some of us reply, "Raise your head." Over our heads. One small church many years ago, an old leader of the church said to me, "We here don't cotton much to education, but after having heard you preach, we decided that you're called to preach in spite of all your learning." He meant this as a compliment. The wise person has a very important role to play in the community of faith. Now, this type of criticism of the wise is indeed wrongheaded. But folks are looking for wise people who don't look like these three, but look like Grandpa and Grandma Walton on the TV show. Secondly, not everyone who talks like they want to worship Christ really does. As Jesus said, many will call Lord, Lord, but don't know me. And we see Herod here. We can imagine when the wise men come to him, he would have sounded like the most religious person in the world. He would say, "Hallelujah, glory," raise his hands. "Now you boys go and find him, and when you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can go and worship him." Praise God. What a snake. What a hypocrite. He wanted to know where he was so he could send people to kill him. Now, most of you who come from small towns know of a person, as I knew, who talked about the love of Jesus all the time. All she talked about was God. But this person was greedy, cheated people, cruel, but she still talked a lot about Jesus. Albert Speer, who was the architect and engineer of sorts of the Nazi war machine, in an interview said that the first time he met Hitler in person, he got in the car with him in the back seat, and it was cold, and he gave him his gloves and scarf, had the driver stop and get something for them to eat, And Speer said that honestly, in my presence, he was the most thoughtful, kind and polite person I've ever met. So not all people who are religious or who speak religion do their religion. Finally, it is time, and has been for a long time, to restore the role of the wise man and the wise woman in the life of our churches. The ancient Hebrew people, upon reading this story, would have heard bells ringing. They heard something they knew about, and that was the tradition of wisdom. They would have remembered the wise tradition. They would have remembered King Solomon, the most glorious, powerful king that the Israelites ever had. They would remember that when Solomon was about to assume or take the crown, made king, God told Solomon to ask what he wanted of him. That night, Solomon prayed for wisdom, not power or glory or riches, but wisdom. And God told Solomon that because he asked for wisdom, he would add the other to it. And there's a complete section of the Old Testament called the wisdom literature: Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Throughout the Old Testament, wisdom takes on a sort of personal quality, as if it's a person of the Trinity almost. But today, people see those who seek wisdom perhaps as pretentious or eggheads, nerds. And today's lesson gives a real contrast between wisdom and foolishness. The wise men were wise, but Herod was foolish. Rather than going along with the plan of God, he had his own plans. The wise men submitted to a higher authority. Herod thought he was the only authority. The wise men in this story are humble, and yet this humility is set over against the arrogance and violence of Herod. Finally, this note about one of the verses we read. It said that they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they left for their own country by another road, another way. It is important in our spiritual journey that we are willing to leave where we are and go home by another road. Education is supposed to change you. Church, worship, music, study, and prayer are supposed to change you. And this year, we want to be as wise as the wise men from the East. Uncertain sometimes, fearful sometimes, but full of joy because we are ready to move in another way, to leave by a different path and go somewhere new. Let's pray together. O God, who revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, we have promised to do whatever he did. May it always be our will to live as Jesus taught. Amen. Let's sing Fairest Lord Jesus.
Oh.
May the God who made himself manifest in Jesus be with us, appear to us, cause us to be wise today and every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.